As surprising as it may seem, some industries still haven't adopted digital marketing fully just yet. There are still industries where purchases are made via signed contracts and not through a smooth e-commerce checkout process. But that is changing. Today, we're talking about what happens when e-commerce infiltrates the wedding industry. So get ready. I'm Kara Hogan, and this is The Empowered Marketer. The Empowered Marketer is brought to you by Zayus, the only CRM your marketing team needs. Learn how Zayus can power better, faster, more personalized marketing at Zayus.com. Veronica Armstrong is no stranger to building a brand from the ground up. As employee number four and marketer number one at Love Pop Cards, she saw that brand go from unknown to Shark Tank to dominating the specialty card market. Now she's the head of marketing at Mayflower Venues, an online marketplace that helps you discover and book unique wedding venues. But it's been a challenge to bring the world of digital marketing into the traditional wedding industry. To Veronica, however, this challenge is more than worth it, since she helps create a unique and personalized experience for couples.
So Mayflower empowers couples to create a truly personalized wedding experience. So what they can do is discover new properties, rural estates. You want to get married at a cranberry bog, we've got it. Mayflower empowers couples to create a truly personalized wedding while at the same time delivering new revenue to rural properties so they can remain open for generations to come. What that means is during wedding season, you probably know how it is. You're going to go to 25 weddings, they're all at the same exact place, and you're going to eat the same exact chicken, and people are over it. They want a wedding that's really reflective of their values or their personality, or there's some sort of connection to the space that embodies what it is about their relationship that's special. So we work really hard to find spaces of all kinds that are going to help these couples have weddings that are very unique and that are also going to help these property owners, be it preserving a property that they've owned for generations within their family or to generate another income stream so they can open another farm stand, whatever it may be. So it's really personal for me because it feels so great to have that impact on both sides of the business. And there's no other company out there that's doing this that has these unique off-the-beaten-path spaces for events. So what is really interesting about what we do is you in the past wanted to have your wedding at this completely crazy barn 3 hours away in Maine. What are you going to do when your tent vendor asks you how big the area is that you're able to set up your tent? You're going to have to drive down there that weekend. You're going to have to measure it. You're going to have to pay someone to do it for you. That's completely gone. We create venue-specific remote planning tools to help you coordinate your custom event there. So there's no, hey, you need to use these vendors, you need to use this chicken, use this bartender, whatever it may be. You can mix and match it yourself, but we create these online tools that make it easy for you to do it from home or the West Coast or wherever you may be, so you don't have to be driving back and forth up to this like random barn.
The wedding space seems like it's just really complicated with so many options to choose from. So how do you help customers kind of sort through the crazy challenges of planning a wedding?
Yeah, well, we help our customers sort through the complexity and that feeling of overwhelm with transparency and choice. So we're so transparent that it throws people off. Sometimes people write to us and they ask about the price of a venue, and I'm respectfully like, it's literally right there on the page that you just messaged me from. I'm not hiding it from you. I'm not going to force you to sit down with me and have an awkward meeting. I'm just putting it out there for you to decide whether it makes sense for you from the pricing standpoint. What's happened is the industry has trained people to expect these pricing variations based on seasonality, whether you sit down to a meeting with them and engage in this weird negotiation. So people are going into this experience based on what they've heard from friends and family. They are really thrown off when the price is just right there. So part of what we're doing is changing that customer expectation, but we are just learning more and more about how much more data can we put on that venue page to get you to make an informed decision without having to drive all over the Northeast to find your venue. Because that's the other part of what we do is our customers can book online. Again, nobody else is doing that. You can book online sight unseen because you've seen a drone video. You have all of these maps that help you plan your wedding. You see all of the photos. You can talk to me or a member of my team. And I think that's like the truly meaningful thing is there's just no more forced, awkward sit-down meetings. You can make a decision from home because we're being so transparent.
And so you're chatting with them live on the page. Are you using live chat or something else to talk to them?
We use live chat, and I'm testing whether people are more likely to speak to me when I have my Bitmoji or my standard corporate headshot, which is pretty fun. I used to have my Bitmoji dabbing as my Slack photo, and we were using a tool that was like chat via Slack, and I didn't realize people could actually see the picture, and it was up there for like months. And finally, when we had this like influx of traffic at Love Pop, a customer was just like, "I'm sorry, I have to ask you, are you dabbing?" "Yes, I'm dabbing. How do you feel about that?" Loved it. She loved it. Anyone else who talked about it less. So I was like, you know what, let me just test this. But people can chat, they can text me, they can call me, they can email me, and they find me anywhere. They even DM me on Instagram, which is awesome.
That's great. Do you feel like technology hasn't really infiltrated the wedding industry? Like, do you think something's holding people back from doing these sort of tactics like booking online and doing live chat?
I am probably like the least likely wedding industry person at all because I'm just so, it's so terrible. Like, I'm passionate about what I do and Mayflower venues because it feels good to be part of something that's empowering customers. I think the lack of technology is straight up gatekeeping. I believe there's a lot of power in one side holding all of the information. So back in the day when there was no alternative, it didn't hold anybody back. That was just the way you had to do it. But I'm seeing a pendulum swing where businesses who don't modernize and provide the technologies that enable customers to get the information they need when they need it, they're going to fail. And so honestly, I think that's what it's been. People were still making money by forcing these meetings, forcing these phone calls. And it's been a very slow shift. But I think with all that Zola's doing and now with us, it's going to change very quickly. And if they don't catch up, they're just not going to be able to play in this industry anymore.
It does feel like tech is kind of pushing its way into every single industry and making it a little bit better, hopefully.
So we are really fortunate to have a very strong referral business, which is a thing that I think you would see across the wedding industry anyway. So we're also beneficiaries of that, which is great because that's an awesome acquisition source. So we often find our customers via customer and partner referrals, which is really great. So what works best in that regard is best in class execution. So because the entire industry doesn't have this expectation of speed and, you know, having all of this technology applied to the conversation when you're learning more about a venue or a partner, the fact that you are responding to a chat at 10 o'clock at night, whether it's the bot or me, really helps you stand out, right? If they do want that sit-down meeting, the fact that you're willing to jump on a video chat with them, that also helps you stand out. So taking that inbound via all of the partners that we're getting and then ensuring that you give everybody just the best, most flawless execution that you can is really helpful. So when you attend a Mayflower venue's wedding and you have the time of your life and you remember, you're an advocate. It's fantastic. So it's not the sexiest answer because not a ton of people have a product where it's like, boom, I'm in front of 200 people, right? Every wedding is like 100 to 200 people. But we do have that viral coefficient that's really fantastic. And then when you multiply that by the partners, florists, cake bakers, photographers, videographers, you just get this really great community. So again, not a very rewarding answer, but it's about treating people well, rewarding them for that referral business by reciprocating in kind in whatever way that it can be, and just nailing it every time because you do not get another chance to make somebody's wedding awesome. So we take that very seriously.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned the vendors that you work with. So there's kind of two sides to the business. You have the couples that are coming in and looking for the right venues, but you also have the people renting out the spaces, the florists, and all of the other people you work with. So how do you source them? How do you build those relationships and bring them onto the platform?
So the vendors are interesting. What you see in the industry is that there's two dominant players who have merged. So now they're one. And it's basically pay to play. And everyone wins the same award, best of blank weddings, 2018, 19, whatever it may be. And there's no real clear differentiation here. So I think that customers are starting to lose that trust. And so one of the reasons that our customers work with us is that after they book, they have the option of asking us for vendor partners. Unlike other venues, we don't have this like roster that you're forced to work with any of our venues. It's very passive. Only if you ask, we're more than happy to provide recommendations. And we take that very seriously because there's no certification in the wedding industry. Literally anybody can pick up a camera one day, throw up a Craigslist ad, and he or she is out there filming weddings and could make a terrible mistake that these people would never be able, you know, to recover from. And so for us, the quality of the vendor is everything, especially when it comes to throwing a creative and non-traditional wedding. So we find people by paying really close attention to their market. What are they doing on social? What are we reading in their reviews? And then again, it's very much a very heavy referral business. So sometimes our venue partners are just like, hey, there's this person in my community I've known for 20 years. Give them a try. We'll explore the relationship. And after we really properly vet them, are they insured? How many weddings have they done? What are their customers saying? Then they can become part of the Mayflower Venues family. But so it's very different than that pay to play that everybody else is doing out there. You cannot pay money to be listed on Mayflower Venues in any capacity as a vendor. It's strictly based on the quality of your execution and the relationship that we built.
Yeah, that's a great differentiator for the business. And so you mentioned the business is referral driven, but have you invested in any sort of content marketing or paid marketing to drive new traffic to the site?
SEM works for us for the same reason it does for everybody else. It's the greatest source of high intent traffic, right? Especially in the wedding industry. It's really important. But I feel strongly in building a business sustainably. So we invest heavily in organic channels. We spend a lot of time crafting educational and friendly content that leads find on their own organically searching for what kind of tent should I choose if I'm getting married in Maine? Does it matter? How much does it cost? And that works really well. So the other things that we're doing is Instagram stories. People are super, super into them. But one thing that I'm finding is it's very much like a me talking at you and people like it that way, right? So I try to create really funny personal stories that educate, show off the venue a little bit. I ask questions, but it's a one-sided conversation. So what I'm finding is I'll put that out there. It'll be received well. And then the people who watched it, they tend to come in via the website when they're ready. So that's a really interesting thing about wedding. On SEM, I know what you're looking for, when you're looking for it, and we can just get the party started. But on organic content, on social media and things like that, it's very much just showcasing who we are and our personalities and waiting for our leads to make the decision and come to us. So
that's funny. You're the second person I've interviewed that does Instagram Live and stories and all of that. It seems like it's really an exciting time for B2C marketers. I really think that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, and I'm in this super interesting space where I went from having a really big and incredibly talented team to going back to doing exactly what I did at the beginning of Love Pop and doing it all myself, which is really interesting. And what I find is helpful is somehow I am very young at heart, I guess. I'm very immature and I always know what the streets are talking about, for better or worse. You follow me on Twitter, you probably know exactly why I'm the way I am. But that stuff actually is incredibly helpful when it comes to crafting content for the millennial customer, right? So makes me feel good about my terrible meme consumption habits.
It seems to me like onboarding would be really important for this, to make sure that people are engaging the right way and figuring out the flow and how the whole process works. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so because I was the head of customer happiness before, I am customer obsessed. So I think there's these different marketing buckets, right? And I'm definitely the people bucket, where I really believe in customers telling me what they want and then quantifying that and then building something that scales. So everything I do is through that filter. I think a big part of building a great customer experience is to do things that don't scale, measure their effectiveness, and then find a way to implement what was most meaningful from that experience into some sort of scalable delight. So I'm new to Mayflower Venues, but I'm still learning the process. So one thing I'm doing is building those personal relationships with my customers. So one thing that I saw at Love Pop is every customer used to have my cell phone number. And for years, I mean, we grew and had giant team and people were still calling me and I would still service them and just be like, sure, no problem, you know, because you want to, no matter how big you get, you still want your customer to know that you're the same people, right? It's not about deception. I'm not trying to fool someone into thinking we're like a 10-person company when we're way bigger than that. It's about like, I care just as much as I did back then when I was fighting just to get that next, you know, 10th customer, right? So I'm doing that again because I'm learning as somebody who's new to the business. I think the best way to provide a great customer experience is to spend time with a customer. I flew to Seattle last year to attend a customer's wedding. Let me see what worked. Let me see what didn't. Let me prove to you that when I said that you were the most important thing to me, I actually meant it. Does that scale? Absolutely not. I can't fly to everybody's wedding, but I built a very deep relationship with that customer. And there was a lot of satisfaction in getting to know her, but there was so much great insight that I brought back to the business about what worked and what didn't. So when you think about a situation like that, okay, I can't fly to everyone's wedding, but what were the insights that I gleaned from that experience that I can then either work into my text messaging strategy or my email marketing strategy? And so that's kind of how I tend to look at stuff is I have one bride who I'm going to meet up with to bring her a pizza from her favorite place in a couple of weeks. And well, I'm straight up going to ask her because she always DMs me. So she DM'd me the other day. She's trying to get the Obamas to respond to her wedding invitation. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. And so we're always DMing and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ask her, like, you've already booked with us. You've already made the decision that you love us. You know, we're going to be working together for the next 9 months. Like, why are you sticking around? Like, why are you still on social? Like, why did you send me a selfie of yourself in your wedding dress? Like, why do you care about me? I know why I care about you, but like, and whatever it is that she has to say, you just build that back into your brand voice or your marketing tactics and then just rinse, repeat, test and measure.
So I noticed that PR is also a really big thing for Mayflower. You've been featured in The Globe and Forbes. So has that led to a lot of results and traffic for the business?
Yeah, so PR has driven tons of interest and inbound leads on the venue and couple side. We're super thankful for it. We appreciate it. And it's a big part of my 2019 focus. I am a little spoiled in that, again, I'm Love Pop fam. And Love Pop is literally all over the place because Wambi and John are brilliant and they photograph well and they video well. And so I had the benefit of sometimes just like poking my head in and getting in on a commercial, which was lovely. So I'm really used to these amazing benefits of large scale PR. And of course, would I love that? Yeah, this is a totally different company, but would I absolutely love to be featured on, you know, a television show that 7 million people watch? Right now, I'm literally hustling for anyone to pay attention to me. And it's because I really enjoy lending visibility to the property owners who host weddings. They have these really rich and textured and wonderful stories to tell. And I feel like people need to understand that there's human beings behind these properties and that there's meaning in what we do, because I think sometimes it just seems very transactional, right? And it's like, no, actually, Jack literally was able to open another farm stand. And with the money from that extra farm stand, he was able to open up a Christmas tree farm. And this is his life's passion. And you contributed to that. And so many of our couples are mission driven. So by telling those stories, you know that you're finding the right customer. Because the thing with us is, it's not for everybody. If you're a bridezilla that expects to be waited on hand and foot and doesn't want to do any research, I mean, it's probably not in your best interest to have a very creative wedding, right? Like, this is very much a partnership and learning what goes into this and learning what the successful execution is. So it's incredibly important from, you know, not to be like impersonal about it, but when you think about the time to serve a customer, I want to serve the right customers, and telling those venue host stories is the perfect way to attract people who are interested in the mission, preserving land, preserving open spaces, or just are like, listen, I know I'm having a wedding and I know it costs a lot of money and I'm being kind of a maniac by spending $20,000 on catering. At the very least, I can feel good that I helped this person save their farm, right? Like, that really matters. So I care about PR deeply because it's an honest and transparent way to just help people find the information that they need to make an informed choice on where to host their wedding, and then to let them know that we have the tools to help them do it. The reason why it's really important is if it's constantly me telling that story, like, why would you believe me? You can be like, that's a sales trick. Yeah, clearly she's going to tell me how awesome it is, right? So letting the venue host be the stars of the show and tell you why we matter to them and why they are the perfect venue to host your wedding is so much more meaningful than me constantly just jabbering away on Instagram.
That makes a lot of sense. And I do love the idea that you're helping someone pay for the maintenance of their historic home or property or something like that. It's really great.
It's nice to wake up and do something that really matters.
And so now we're going into the more personal questions, talking about you and your career path as a marketer. So I wanted to hear about failure first. What was a time that you failed and what did you learn from it?
Fail all the time. One of my biggest failures was last year. I invested heavily in a print campaign in a now defunct wedding magazine. And it was expensive and it had very little ROI. So I learned a bunch of things. Like, one really petty thing that I learned was, if your biggest competitor in the space turned down a, you know, spring volume, which is supposed to be the biggest volume for the wedding industry, there's a good reason why they did that. There's something that they don't know. So I have this challenge of like balancing my hyper cynicism with this like hyper innocence that I tend to retain for a very old person. Cause I'm like, no, I'm like, well, maybe there's a good reason they didn't do it. Like, you know, maybe we're like crushing them in some regard. No, Veronica, they didn't do it because they had some, you know, signal that this wasn't working. So anyway, I spent a bunch of money on it. And the lesson learned is investing in a channel where the direct impact is hard to measure should not be part of the marketing mix for a young product. That's it, right? Like if you're Coke and you're like, I don't know if this works, let me throw $2 million on it and see if it sticks. No big deal. When you are building a new business, you really shouldn't do that. So obviously there's some exceptions to this. You can't measure everything. So you have to be really careful and systematic in your approach. But I learned to stick to what I can measure until I have a sizable test budget where it's not going to kill me if something doesn't work. And it's crazy because it sounds so basic, but the issue is outside of the wedding industry, I don't fall for that trap. Within the wedding industry, marketing is a whole different ballgame. So it's really easy to get swept up in doing big flashy things that look impressive, but are ultimately a huge waste of time.
Yeah, that's unfortunately a sad indictment of the print industry right now, that getting a big ad in a glossy magazine just isn't what it used to be.
It was literally nothing. And I also paired it with a digital campaign too that didn't perform incredibly well. So I definitely take my side of the responsibility in, I think, probably not understanding how deeply in trouble that industry is right now, because to understand that, you would know that they're also trying to figure it out. Don't give someone $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 if they're trying to figure it out too. But what they tend to do is really lean on the prestige of their names, right? And how long they've been around. And well, we have all of these eyeballs. We're the biggest in the game. And it's really like, you can get swept up in that. But ultimately, once you fail as significantly as I did, you're like, oh, lesson learned, not happening again, no matter how flashy you are, how long you've been around.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough out there for a print publication. I used to work in journalism for a couple of years. And, you know, I saw the writing on the wall. There are some publications that have successfully adapted to digital and some that haven't. That totally ties into the idea that marketing is constantly changing and you always have to stay on the cutting edge with your skills. So I'd love to hear about how your role as a marketer has changed in the past few years and find out what you think is going to be big in the future.
I feel very vindicated as of late. So one thing that I've observed is that people are realizing that paid marketing is an addiction. I think people are rallying around a long-term view of what it means to build a sustainable business, and I'm super excited about that. Dependency on Facebook and Instagram as primary channels for customer acquisition is, it's just not even the game I want to play. I think it's a very slippery slope. And so I believe deeply in starting with foundational growth that takes a little bit longer to pay off, but doesn't become this vicious cycle of spending more and more to attract new customers, right? So things like content marketing, email marketing, and something that I'm super into but haven't implemented at Mayflower Venues is really thoughtful text message marketing. I did a lot of that at Love Pop and our customers absolutely loved it. So, but again, in the wrong hands, that could be the worst thing ever. I had a special aptitude for it, probably because I had spent so much time on the support, like customer happiness leadership side, that I have a, before all of this like data privacy stuff blew up, I had a very deep and profound respect of my customers' data and what was done with it. So I think that's why it worked for me. So I like to mention that because it's just not a channel that you turn on like email marketing and you just start sending people promotional messages. It has to be very intentional. And for example, if you replied to those text messages, it was literally me or my team responding. It was really effective. Our customers enjoyed it. So I believe strongly in the future of it. However, given how lax a lot of companies are with how they handle their customer information, I don't know that it will ever take off in the way that I had hoped it would. But I do love it. So none of the stuff that I mentioned was sexy. It's not super new, but what it is it's inexpensive and scalable. So that's what I care about. I care about when I'm sort of this like freak show who really loves going to really early companies, right? I just did it twice in a row. When I'm given the space to do stuff that doesn't produce immediate results, but the people around me trust will pay off in 6 to 12 months time, I feel like that's where I really shine. And I'm really thankful to have the opportunity to do that. And it's just cool to be part of this moment where everybody's finally like, oh my God, my CAC is just going to keep increasing because everybody else is in the same channel. And it's forcing people to be creative, and it's forcing people to get out from behind their computer screens and get to know their customers. So I'm like really with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely of the same marketing philosophy. I try to do stuff like this podcast or a video series that it's really hard to show the value of immediately. You really have to give it time, and it's hard to get the time and the space to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was this moment in time in like startups probably exclusively where everybody wanted that guy, and it was always a guy. They wanted that guy who was always doing crazy stuff with landing pages and pixels, and we want algorithms that merchandise our products. And they just wanted all of this really tech heavy stuff. And it was like, could I do that? Like, yeah, like it's a freaking pixel. I know how to insert a line of code into a page, like leave me alone. But the thing is it's not how this works. Like marketing is about human beings. So if you're not talking to people and understanding their problems, understanding what the job to be done is, how are you building a solution? It sounds very basic. And I think I needed this moment in time to have, I think, everybody else kind of on the same page. I think people like you and I that get it, but like until people saw what was going to happen with Facebook and how expensive it got, I think they were going to keep doing it.
It's kind of always like that in marketing, that if a channel gets too popular, it gets diluted and you have to find something else. And that's just really how it works for promotions. Whereas, yeah, those core marketing strategies don't change and really haven't changed for a long time.
Well, one thing that I'm really excited about is the voice memos. So podcasts are obviously huge, but Instagram implemented a DM feature where I can send voice memos directly to customers or leads or followers, whatever it may be. And I think if you have the right brand voice and you're respectful of the space, I think that could be really huge, where it's literally like, hey, listen, you guys only have 24 hours to do this, but I heard that this cake baker is having the sale of a lifetime. Do it. Don't care, but love you. Talk to you later. Like whatever it may be, just a very personal, you know, voice note and things like that. So I think I always am fearful of talking about like, hey, this is what I'm doing for marketing, because I think a lot of times people listen to the podcast or read the blogs and they're waiting for like, oh, that's the thing that I need to do. And it just doesn't work like that. And I wish I had one of those things. But I would say if I had to give one of those nuggets that someone was looking for, I would say go sit down with a customer, but not in a traditional sense. Don't invite them to a conference room. Like go bring them a pizza, send them some donuts, give them a coffee, whatever. It has to be it. And just treat them like you would a friend and see what they have to say.
To learn more about Mayflower Venues, go to www.mayflowervenues.com. And thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's been a fun couple of weeks, and I've gotten a chance to talk to some really interesting people. But I am looking for new guests. So if you think you know a brand that should be featured on The Empowered Marketer, please send me an email. That's empoweredmarketer@zayas.com. Or you can tweet at me, @KaraHogan27. That's all for this episode, and I'll see you lovely humans again in 2 weeks.